Let us pray. May the written word and the spoken word lead us to the living word, to Jesus, who marked out the path for us, ran the race ahead of us, who by the Spirit runs alongside us, and with the Father has turned and waits for us with love and longing at the finish line. Amen. As a new Christian in my 20s, beginning to discover what it meant to run the race of faith, I took off on that race with energy and commitment, but soon struggled with the problem of who exactly was responsible for what. Mostly, I would veer towards feeling like I was supposed to design my own training program. Other Christians were certainly valued advisors and provided much inspiration. And I'm not sure the approach was prideful, really, just what I was used to. Other ones on the Enneagram, if that means anything to you, understand about needing to do things right. During that time, I once struggled with whether it was right for me to miss church one Sunday and go and watch my sister in a triathlon. I decided to go, not imagining that the Holy Spirit would meet me there with a revelation of something that was really encouraging and which I recall vividly to this day, to this moment. I stood in the bleachers at the finish line watching as one runner after another approached the end of their race, some pouring it on in a sprint, some steady and sure, some limping, some smiling, some looking stricken. I also became hyper-aware of being in a cloud of witnesses, if you will, who, with one voice, were shouting words of encouragement to people they didn't know. The goodwill, the exuberance of the crowd, and the respect for the individual race each one was running, and whose names were also being announced, was really a charged experience. And I found myself, transported is too strong perhaps, but able to imagine, let's say, a heavenly scene involving those who had finished their own race, rooting for those still running. And the best part was Jesus, the victorious announcer of the names, who with joy and emotion welcomed each one across the finish line. There was a weight to the scene, but love was everywhere. I got the picture. The realization that God really was for me and that there was all this encouragement around me went from head to heart, so as they say. This is what I'm part of, I whispered to myself. I didn't know at the time, but it was right out of the book of Hebrews. The writer seems to have in mind a vivid picture for his readers that they would know about. Down on the ground are the runners preparing to run a race. Their training has been vigorous. They have worked ahead of time to lay aside extra weight and now are throwing off the garments that would make them trip. Anything that is an impediment to running unencumbered. For Greeks, it meant literally they threw off everything. There is an energy in the crowd of spectators who surround them in the tiers of an amphitheater. Now, the audience to which the letter is written had started out well in their race of faith, but were flagging. They were losing their focus and their will to keep going. The letter is a word of exhortation meant to cheer and boost them and help them refocus and stay in the race. The writer is not even preaching at them, but he includes himself with them, repeating, "Let us run the race with perseverance. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus," like an encouraging coach or a team member. The witnesses who surround them, likewise, are meant to inspire them to keep going. They are those who persevered in earlier generations in the life of faith and are there not simply to witness the runners contending for the faith in the arena of life, but as witnesses to them. And we will return to those witnesses. This summer, the children were surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, living ones, parents and youth who came to lead them, and in particular, eight runners from within our family, Roger Scharf, Chris Callan, Steffi Williams, Julia Stewart, Bjorn Lundgren, Emily Schroeder, and Josh Lancet all came to run the race to give a testimony from their own lives about running the race of faith. The children were also surrounded by 8 witnesses from the Bible, from whose stories we highlighted a single aspect of their lives that shed light on the nature of the race of faith. Paul was prepared before and after meeting Jesus for his race. Hannah could only pray. Esther was called to a purpose that only she could fulfill. Rahab was a needed partner to the Israelites. Abigail had the gift of perception and saw people and situations God's way. Josiah was a leader single-minded in pursuing right living for God's people. Joseph was protected by God. And in the midst of a lot of confusion, Peter stood up to proclaim the arrival of a new day. Yes, all the words started with P. Given the theme of endurance in our Hebrews passage this afternoon, perhaps you are worried that about those 8 characters and all those 8 P words as the basis of an 8-point sermon. Fear not. How thankful can we be, Church of the Redeemer, for the testimony between the generations that is present among us in our family here? I will pause to say thank you again to all of those who came, to those who love and serve the youth and the children on their race on an ongoing basis, to all those who recognize and value the witness that they are to us, to those who pray. It is as it should be, but it is not to be taken for granted. Let us return now to the witnesses whose lives are given as inspiration to the Hebrew Christians. And there's a bit of a surprise coming. How does this work? Let's look at the faith of the witnesses that are mentioned. Some, and I quote, were tortured, others suffered mocking and flogging, chains and imprisonment, stoned, sawn in two, killed with a sword, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. And he follows that up with a big therefore. Carry on. And here's the place that we come around again to my question as a new Christian about who is responsible for what. We are used to testimonials about products and programs and people, and true Christian testimony is always about God. These are not stories about personal power and success and victory. They are stories of faith in the faithfulness of God in all circumstances. God is never not faithful to us. There are surely times when we cannot see it, and in those moments, I think it is not a lack of faith, but an expression of it to say, I do not see how God is faithful to me right now. But here's our part. We go on to say, I believe he is. If you are in a place like that, and you feel as though what is required of you is to drum up faith, take heart. Just how easy it is for us to veer back into making it about us, saying, okay, it's not about my power, but it is about my faith and how strong it is. It is not. Can you say, though, I believe God is never not faithful to me? And the cloud of witnesses around you are there to look and say to you, yes, he is. We are not alone. The word encourage comes from an old French and English roots and means to make or to put into the heart. For all of us on the race of faith, whether we are suffering or not, and there is suffering in our midst, we can ask ourselves today and in all the circumstances in which we find ourselves, how is faith expressing itself in my life? That is our part in the action. And that brings us to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who brings our faith to life, and the one who perfectly exemplified faithfulness. If we take a step back from our Hebrews image for a wider view about the nature of the race Jesus ran, then we have a better chance of running the race that is marked out for us. And we guard against our passage from Hebrews becoming an all-purpose pep talk that propels us on a course that is not marked out for us. So let's do what the author of Hebrews encourages and fix our eyes on Jesus for a moment. We know from the Gospels that as part of running his race, Jesus frequently gave his full attention, fixed his own eyes, in other words, on the Father, without the world's distractions. What came from that indispensable waiting on God? Well, I don't imagine that Jesus got a blueprint for his race. All right, son, let's go over today's ministry opportunities. 9 a.m., blind man by the road. Maybe don't chat too long to the woman who wants to tell you about her lazy daughter, because 10:43, man from synagogue approaching. Go with him. Okay to stop for woman with hemorrhage on the way. I love the sense in the Gospels that Jesus was fully cognizant of his purpose in life without that detracting from a beautiful responsiveness to what he encountered. I remember being so intrigued the first time I noticed that Jesus was surprised by people. He woke up and he walked out, knowing his single calling, but even being fully God, able to enter fully into the pain and struggles of those he came across. Notice how, even when he was going to heal someone, he doesn't skip over full identification with others by saying, "Look, it's your lucky day, I'm going to heal you. You can stop crying." He sighs, he weeps, he's filled with compassion. Jesus was frequently tired from the demands of his life of teaching and healing and traveling, but he maintained a connection to the Father, which was his source of strength and inspiration. He knew what he was about, he knew what he was called to and wasn't, and found strength and inspiration to be obedient to the course that was marked out for him. So it is a little different from the athletic vision of training. It's a different kind of training, awaiting. In Psalm 25, the psalmist wants to know that the path that is marked out for him. You might have noticed that as we read it. He's eager to be on it, eager to be on his way and on his way. Make me know your ways. Teach me your paths. Lead me. Instruct me. There's a lot about instruction in the way he should choose. He too is doing that beautiful waiting on the Lord. But unlike Jesus, he knows that his sin is a burden, and so he asks for pardon. It reminds me a little bit of the throwing off everything that would hinder. And as for his trouble, his distress, his affliction, and his loneliness, which may not necessarily be sin, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, he says, and there it is again. And in that familiar and well-loved passage from Isaiah, it is those who wait upon the Lord who renew their strength, who run and do not grow weary. In all our plans and anticipation of what is before us, and this is the time of year when we're doing a lot of calendar work, let us remember the word wait, not with connotations of inactivity, but as a reminder to fix our eyes on Jesus in such a way that we are kept from making our own path. Contestants in a race do not choose their own course, despite what the culture at present is at pains to tell us, to the point of insanity. Jesus did not choose his own race. If there is another way, he said, before he scorned the cross, despising the shame, and going to his death so that we are able to be in the race at all. I close today with another testimony. The kids heard this in a different form last Sunday, and I close with it today because we have spent time considering the encouragement and even the protection of the cloud witnesses. We heard from the psalmist and from Isaiah about waiting, about pardon as prerequisite for running unencumbered. We've been witnesses to the perfect race of Jesus, whose race was marked from start to finish by perfect attunement to the Father. I know what I needed to hear from spending time in these passages, and I asked the Lord, as I ought to, "What do you want me to say to your people?" And I felt the answer was very simple. Tell them I love them. And the best way that I can think of to convey that around the theme that we're speaking of today is to take the role of witness this time and tell you another story. This time, it's not in the athletic arena, and I ask you to use your imagination to try to receive what is in the heart of the Blessed Trinity, who works together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to bring us safely home at the end of our race. It's like a parable. And it does involve me, but it is a testimony about God. And as a parable, it tells something about his heart for you. It's a story of two different races I witnessed and the God who connected them for the encouragement of a suffering servant and two people who loved him. The first race was in South Dakota, and the runner was my daughter, Julia. She prays for people when she runs, that they will be able to run their own race of faith well. And this time, Julia was running the race for her grandpa, my dad, who was coming to the end of his race. And he was lying on his back, suffering a lot. It was the most difficult challenge of his life, and he wanted to finish well. It can be a challenge to believe that God loves you and is with you when you are in a lot of pain. So Julia wanted to run this race for Grandpa and pray for him, mindful of what he was enduring. It was a hot day, and after mile 15 or so, Julia began to have some trouble. Twice, I saw that she had slowed to a walk. Very unusual for her. She usually runs the whole way. At mile 21, I saw she was disoriented and not even sure which way she was supposed to go. I drove to wait for her at mile 25, at the top of a long, long hill where I knew I would be able to see her coming. I waited and I prayed and I looked at my watch. Repeat. Straining my eyes, I searched for that familiar figure, scanning every group of runners that came around the corner way in the distance and started up that long hill. Where was she? Was she sitting by the side of the road? Was she hurt? Was she in the bus? Was God not hearing my prayers for her? And then, in the distance, I spotted her, and my heart took a little jump. And as she came up the hill, I could see that she was running. She's still running, I whispered in wonder. And that was God's moment to speak to me about something which has been with me really ever since. He picked that moment to give me a little glimpse into his own Father's heart, which is an immense furnace of love. I would gladly have relieved Julia's suffering by running that last mile, point two, and the point two is important, she tells me. I wished, knowing how hard it was for her to keep going, she could just be done. But I was not the one to mark out her race. She had to go the distance, and it was her race. No one could run it for her. I felt God's presence in an unusual way, and like that experience 30 years earlier, I became aware of a bigger story. She finished that race. People cheered. Her name was announced, along with my dad's name, because she'd written on her form that she was running in his honor. Just a couple of weeks later, I sat with my dad, who was at mile 25 in his race. Close to the end, suffering, enduring, definitely fixing his eyes on Jesus. When somebody is in pain, it's tempting to wonder, why is God not helping with that? Is God even kind? Maybe God doesn't see or doesn't care. Maybe I've done something wrong and God is mad. Is there even a God? I got to tell my dad not only that Julia had run the race for him, he liked that, I got to tell him that God had made her race a parable and that it was for him. Because I carried the experience of the Father's heart still, I proclaimed with conviction my sense that God was cheering for him, loved him, and was waiting at the finish line. I could tell by the way he kept saying yes as he listened that it shed a light on his path. And later, when we began to pray, "Enough, Lord, let him come home," and I felt like my prayers were useless, God reminded me, "Don't ask me to move the finish line. Pray instead that he will finish well and he won't be tempted to think I've forgotten him. He has an enemy who would be delighted for him to give up at mile 25. Pray for that." So I did. My father finished his race in faith and in the fear of the Lord and has joined that company of saints who cheer for all of us today, who have entered the race. And because of the faithfulness of Jesus, will one day we will cross the finish line. Keep the faith. Let us pray. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip us all, each of us, with everything good, that we may continue to run the race, and work in us that which is pleasing. Through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen.